Oh my goodness, what a song. Come on. Come on, what a great song. Oh, wow. Thank you for teaching us that song. That's a theme. And it's actually what I want to preach today as well. Hello, church. Where you been? It's so good to be home. And this is home. This is home. So welcome. Carol and I are just back this week from celebrating overseas for many days, our 50th golden wedding anniversary. Stewie came over yesterday, and in front of our children, we decided we would continue the journey. And so we renewed our vows in front of our grandchildren and our children, and it was really special. So we're gonna try to make it work. We're just hanging in there. And it's amazing when you take a trip that long and you expect, well, there's good days and bad days. Honestly, there was only great days. Every single day that we've been away has been special and precious and beautiful. And look who I got to spend it with, right? So look at your neighbor, pinch him on the cheek. And take your seat. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. I can't believe there's frost on the lawn this morning. What's going on? When we left, it was a different season. I heard from Pastor Mitch this morning and the team in Singapore. He said they are having an absolutely fantastic time. And the thought that in 2 weeks, we're going to have this wonderful worship conference. Can't wait. And my message this morning is kind of leaning in and preparing, like that song we just sang, to really, this is a conference that you really, really want to give yourself to. And so my talk today is devoted to worship. Devoted to worship. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be devoted to worship? Would you reach your hand out towards me, please? And pray for me. I'm a little rusty. And so pray for me this morning. Abba, Father, we are gathered here in the name above every name. Thank you for your presence. Lord, we treasure your presence more than anything else. And your presence is with us. Touch every heart. And now, Father, let us look into the word of life. And the word that gives life. And let help come. Let strength come. Let courage rise up. Let resolve happen. And Lord, teach us what it means to be devoted to worship, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the word devoted around the 15th, in the 1500s or whatever, was kind of, it came from a Latin word originating meaning to dedicate by a vow, you know, taking a vow. Or it also means to promise solemnly, devoted to worship. Now, we can be devoted to each other, to our marriages, and we have a sense of the word. The core meaning or the root meaning of devoted is linked to the act of dedicating oneself or something to a specific purpose or person. And I love this, with a sense of commitment and loyalty. Am I committed to worship? Am I loyal to worship? Devoted. Not diverted, not divided, not distracted. Devoted has nothing to do with fair weather or clear skies or calm seas or easy sailing or safe circumstances or secure situations. No. Devoted. In the 42nd Psalm, if you have a Bible with you, you might want to turn there. I felt a little guilty this week. My grandson was sitting in my lap and we were talking about the Bible, and he wanted to know something about the Bible. So I pulled out my phone and I thought, wait a minute. And so I have a shelf full of Bibles. And I said, go over there and pull out one of Paul's Bibles. So he came and brought me a Bible. So you know what I did? I brought one this morning just in case. Because he's here. in the service somewhere today. So Paul brought his, I got my phone too, but I got my Bible. But the 42nd Psalm, I'm going to ask that we stand together. There's 11 verses, and I want us to read together from the Bible. And we'll put it on the screen for those of you who didn't have a grandson here today, and so you didn't bring your Bible with you, like me. But I just thought today, there's 11 verses in Psalm 42. And this is our text. This psalm was written by the sons of Korah. And they teach us what it means to be devoted to worship. And so, let's read it together. Out loud. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. The help of my countenance and my God. Amen. Please be seated. In verse 3, we just read together, My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me, where is your God? Has anybody ever had a day like that? Or a night like that? Or a day and a night like that? Or a season like that? And then in verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And in verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. And then verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then finally, the last verse, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The word cast down, two words for us, but in the Hebrew it's one word. And it means to sink or to depress. Why are you so low? Why are you depressed? Oh, my soul. And the word for disquieted, because he says, my soul is disquieted within me, means tumultuous and troubled. And so here, in this psalm, the sons of Korah, they teach us what devotion to worship looks like. In their tears, in their trials, in their tribulations, yet will I praise you. Yet will I praise you. Six times in this psalm, God is asked, why? 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 Two times God is asked, where? Where? And one time God is asked, when? And yet, in their depression, we see their devotion. Verse 5, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11, hope. And all these questions and all these whys and wheres and whens, hope, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. This psalm teaches us that there is a difference between our life. There is our life, and then there is our God. And the two are not the same. My life, my soul, has been around for 72 years, 73 next month. And that's me. That's my life. But God, forever and ever and ever, has been God. A soul that is cast down is not the same as a God who is lifted up. They are not the same. Because our life can be up or down, blessed or stressed, good or bad, easy or hard, sunshine or storms. We just sang that in that beautiful new psalm. Rick Warren says that he sees it different from good or bad. He says life at the same time can be good and bad. He gives the illustration of a railroad track. He said that's what the Christian life is like. One track, things are going good. The other track, not so much. Whether it's either or, it's still life. Now, I want to speak to you from my heart. As a Christ follower for over 62 years, I have experienced joy, unspeakable, joy full of glory. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. My soul has been elevated and even elated in rapturous ecstasy. But I have also experienced sorrows and sadness, heartache and heartbreak, trials, tears, despair, distress, despondency. The Apostle Paul teaches us this in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. I feel like that. I feel like this goodness and this glory and this treasure is contained in this very earthen, weak, fragile clay jar of my life. And then Paul says, this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. God is great, but life can be harsh and hard. So what do I do? What do the sons of Korah teach me? What do I do when my soul is cast down within me? What do I do when depression rolls over me like a cloud or becomes a pit that I can hardly see which way to move or go or get out of? What do I do? And so today, I'm going to share with you 5 rungs to climb out of the pit of depression. I have used these 5 strategies to overcome depression all of my life. And I'm not preaching or teaching today from a book that I have read, but from a life I have lived. Are you ready? Yeah. When you're despondent, when you're despairing, here is what I do. And here is what I want to encourage you to do. There are 5 rungs to step up out of the pit of despair. And the first rung on the ladder is resist. Resist. When depression comes in, when my soul is cast down, when my soul is disquieted within me, what do? You do not give up. You do not give in. You do not curl up in the fetal position and quit. You resist. You resist. You may not have any control over whether or not you are in the pit of depression, but you do have control with what you do while you're in that pit. And here's the first thing you do. You resist. You resist. James 4, verse 7 says, humble yourself before God and resist the devil. Resist the darkness. Resist the despair. Resist the disappointment. Resist the despondency. And the devil will flee from you. You've got to resist. And resist literally means to stand up. Get up. Stand up. The Passion says it this way, James 4, 7. So then, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil, to the darkness. Stand up and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Resist the devil. Resist the darkness. Resist the despondency, the despair, and the dread. You resist. You resist. I will not take this laying down. The Apostle Peter teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith. And then there's a little key here that I did not know for years. And through my young life, when depression would come upon me, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to deal with it. But I did not know. And then some years later, I saw this key right here from the Apostle Peter. And it just changed so much for me. Listen to this. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing something. Something I didn't know. I didn't know. But when I knew this, when I saw this from the scriptures, it made a big difference. Here's what we know. We resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What? See, I didn't know that. I thought it was just me. I thought I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one feeling this. I'm the only one that could be as crazy as I am right now. I'm the only one who's mixed up and messed up and struggling through the swamp of darkness. You know what? That's not true. Know this. Your brothers, your sisters, those who are near you and dear to you and those around you have also experienced the very same thing. The Good News Bible says it like this. Be firm in your faith and resist him, because you know that other believers in the world are going through the same kind of sufferings. You know, I'm sorry that they are, but I'm glad I'm not alone. This is not unique to me. Because it's like when I've been in this place, it's like I'm the only one I can think of. This is not unique to me. As a matter of fact, I'm not the only one that deals with this. I'm not the only one going through this. For every Christ follower, for those who say, Lord, my soul follows heart, my soul seeks you and thirsts for you. That's how this psalm starts out. It's kind of par for the course. Oh, that means along the way, you might face a pit and you might face despair and your soul might get cast down and be disquieted within you. But you've got to resist. You've got to stand up and hope in God and know that every other brother and sister faces their own serious trials and troubles. Every totally committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to go through kinds of things like this. Resist depression. Surrender to God. Stand up to the devil. It's the same for Christians all over the world. I am not in this alone. This is a fight we all fight. Wrong number two. I'm talking about how to get out of the pit. You put your foot on that first rung and you resist. This is what I've been doing all my life. And then you remember. And that's what the sons of Korah teach us in verse 4. How am I doing? I don't know. It's been a long time since I preached, so I'm not sure. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy. Remember that? With the voice of joy and praise. Remember? Remember? With the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Remember. The New Living Translation says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Can I say, depression is a battle in the mind. So use your mind and remember. Remember. Psalm 63, verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied. When? Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied. Well, I'm hanging out. When? When I remember. When I remember you, Elohim. When I remember you, Yahweh. When I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in those dark places and in those night watches. Every morning, I go through my daily confessions, and I remember every single morning who I am, who He is, what He's done, and why I'm here. The word remember in the New Testament alone is used 75 times. In the Old Testament, 178 times. Remember, Paul told the Philippians, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And you know what the verse just before that says? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach what? To teach what? To teach what is true. And as someone who is devoted to worship, what I do when my soul is cast down, what do I do when it is disquieted within me? What do? I climb out of the pit of depression. And how do I climb out? I resist and I remember. Say it with me. Resist. Remember. And then you grab the third rung of the ladder, and that is I remain. I remain. Jesus said, remain. Don't go anywhere. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. I remain. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not running off with anyone. I'm not running anywhere. No, I'm not leaving. I'm cleaving. I'm cleaving to him. I'm cleaving to her. I'm cleaving to what I know to be truth in my soul, even when I don't have 1 ounce of emotion that confirms it. I will not be moved. The greatest lesson I have ever learned in my life as a Christian is to live by faith and not by feelings. In Psalm 16 and verse 8, David said, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The Greek word for remain means to stay in place. Stay, stand, stick. Many, many years ago, when Carol and I had just come to this nation, we invited Pastor Gordon Gibbs to our home for dinner. And he came to our house, our three children, they were all young, and we had dinner together. And we asked Pastor Gibbs if the Lord had spoken anything to him concerning us. He has such a beautiful prophetic anointing on his life. And Carol and I both will never forget what he said to us. He said, well, I can say this about you and Carol. He said, you two have stick ability. I had never even heard that word before. I thought that was an Aussie word, because we were just new in the country. Stick ability. Stick. Stay. Stand. Don't run. Don't run off. Don't make some big stupid decision. Stay. Remain. Stick. Stand. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 and 14, take up the whole armor of God. Why? So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Nothing takes the pressure out of depression like girding yourself with the truth. Somebody knows what I'm talking about today. Resist. Remember, remain, fourth rung, reverse. In other words, I do the exact opposite of what depression is telling me to do. I just, whatever I'm feeling, I'm a stubborn rebellion. I rebel. I resist. I do not try to wait until my feelings come to get to moving. I act myself into feeling. I don't feel myself into acting. And if I feel like laying down, I get up. And if I feel like doing nothing, I do something. I get up. I walk out the door. I walk around the block. I go pick up the poop that the neighbor's dog has left on my front lawn. If I don't feel like going to work, I put on a suit, run by Krispy Kreme donuts, and come to work. If I feel grumpy, I act grateful. If I'm worried, I worship with all of my heart and no feelings. If I feel no love, I act like I do, and I express it by faith. If I feel dread, I act like David. Go up in the bedroom and put myself in a linen ephod and dance around the bedroom. Not the linen ephod, but. If I feel pressure, I praise. If I feel stingy, I sow generously. I do the opposite of what depression tells me to do. I rebel against this hell, and I dispel this hell and this darkness that comes over my mind and over my soul. If I don't feel like going to church, I get up, get dressed, get in my car, sit up at the front, bring an offering, raise my hands, sing my praise, bow in worship, amen the preacher, and respond to the altar call. I'm devoted to worship, not enslaved by my despair. If I feel helpless, I help Carol. And then once I resuscitate her and bring her back, I explain to her what's going on. And she understands. She understands. So how do I climb out of the pit? What are the rungs on the ladder that lead me out? I'm telling you, from my life and everything I have learned, I resist. I'm not curling up and laying down and giving up. I remember. I remain. I reverse. And finally, that last rung of the ladder, I step up out with the muck and the junk falling off of me, is I recite. I recite. How powerful is what you say? We think how what we feel is powerful. No, no, what you say is powerful. And again, these sons of Korah come along in the 45th Psalm, because they write that one as well. And in verse 1, we read this. To the chief musician, set to the lilies, which was a popular top hit, Hebrew pop hit, back in the days of the sons of Korah. So to the chief musician, set to the lilies, a contemplation of love, a contemplation of the sons of Korah, a song of love. Listen to the first verse. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is ready to start writing stuff right now. My tongue. So what am I going to write with my tongue today? I'm going to write with my tongue today. I'm not going to write what I feel. I'm going to write words of life, words of peace, words of health, words of hope, words of truth. God created the world with his words. I create my inner world with my words. I know that's a God's truth. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, son, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to the which you were called and about which you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The good confession. This is how we fight the fight of faith. The good confession. This is how we take hold of the life that is truly life, the life that you and I were called to live. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Depression tells me lies. But the truth will set me free. Would you stand with me this morning? Could our team please come and rejoin me? Reciting. Retelling, recalling the truth, the truth, the truth. The truth is the truth. It was the truth before I got here. The truth was the truth before my mama ever brought me forth from her womb. The truth, God is God and great and who he was before I ever breathed my first breath. The truth has been the truth since God has been God. And then I'm here. And here I am. And what am I doing? I am laying hold of that truth. I am laying hold of the truth. Because here I am with my, I'm made up of all kinds of stuff, you know. I got little synapses snapping, although they used to snap better, but they're still there snapping. And, you know, and I'm here and it's great and I love God and I love you and I love life. But I'm just a little, Carol and I stood in the giant redwood forest the other day in Northern California. And that's about how big I am. And you're not much bigger. We're right next to a tree, 2,500 years old. That tree was growing when David was king in Israel. And here I am. Here you are. And you know what? My soul's cast down. My soul's disquieted within me. All right. Well, hope in God. Let's get on with it. Because I just need to see that this is me. And this is God and everything else. So my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So I'm going to be reciting and retelling and recalling the truth that sets me free. The truth that's been the truth before I ever breathed a breath. I recite scripture after scripture. I ask my soul, why are you cast down? I wake up in the morning in the dark, and the first thoughts that flood my mind are like from the 72nd Psalm. And these words almost every single day just come into my mind when I wake up. I'm not asking myself how I feel. I'm not asking myself, how you going, mate? How you going, bud? I just lay there and I start citing, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. You will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. I recite. When I was a little boy, they taught us in Sunday school, we started memorizing scripture, never realizing how powerful my life would be in my 70s because of the scriptures I learned when I was like 7. I recite scripture after scripture, and I do what the sons of Korah do. I ask my soul some questions. Why are you cast down? So I finish with this thought. What does it mean to be devoted to worship? It means no matter how I am, it's who He is. What does it mean to be devoted to worship? It means no matter how I am, He is who He is, and He is worthy. He is majestic. He is awesome. He is Almighty God, who has been Almighty God before this little speck began to breathe on this planet. He is who He is. He is God. He is glorious. He is eternal. He is transcendent. He is glorious. He is Elohim. He is the Lord of glory, the King of all kings, and the God of all gods. And I'm just this little man who worships Him no matter how I am. Come on, somebody. Worship Him today. Praise Him today. Glorify Him today in this house. He is Lord. He is worthy.